HowTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Pro Wrestling Sports Entertainment.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Bringing you the news and everything else in the world of professional wrestling.
I'm not entirely sure that I've had enough rum to allow that kind of thing.
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Fine gentleman, don't you think?
The Omega.
Don't dare impugn me on that boy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
So this is your able-bodied crew.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler, Keishi Matsunaga.
No one. There's no one.
Distant cousin of my aunt's nephew, twice removed. Lovely singing voice, though. Unique.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm told it's the latest fashion in London.
And the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Me, I'm dishonest. And a dishonest man you can always trust to be dishonest.
Hey, this is the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
This is Lance Storm, and if I could be serious for a minute.
And you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll and the very first undisputed champion in WWE history, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
It's WTR Sunday Night.
You're supposed to be dead!
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How are you? You okay? Doing well?
Well, we got a whole bunch to talk about. We got some somber topics. We got some weird topics. It's going to be one of those all-over-the-place shows, so I really don't want to waste time. You know, because that's always what I do with this intro. So, this is the Omega, the all end all of the network. Joining me tonight, we have one Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello. I'm testing a new mic. Hopefully it works.
I mean, here you go.
Perfect.
Yes, you're not cutting in and out, and you're not causing feedback.
Ah, wonderful.
So,
my plan has come together.
Yes, my plan. And speaking of, the man who never has a plan for any of this, the one and only Tim Stein.
We just sort of make it up as we go. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Here.
Okay, I'm making sure because we didn't do the normal mic check type thing prior to going live. I just wanted to make sure, you know, because if anybody's going to have mic problems other than Keishi, it'll be me, right? So I just thought I'd check.
I mean, my mic's always perfect.
It sounds like you have another new mic or something.
No.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so you finally hit puberty and your voice changed. I'm sorry, that was mean. I apologize. Please forgive me.
No.
Okay, so basic par for the course then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio Live, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming to you live. If you're a first-time listener, thanks for tuning in, and I really hope that we don't turn you off and give you reason not to pay attention to us anymore. Other than that, you know, the regulars are all here, so hello, everybody. If you want to check us out, come to wildtalkradio.com, click chat near the top, and it'll take you directly to our Twitch TV feed set up by our producer, who is technically MIA tonight. Don't worry about him. He'll be fine. But, yeah, then just when you get to the Twitch feed, click on chat there. It'll pop up and you can communicate with us, because some of us are in that chat room and we will communicate back. That's just the way we do things here. To start off, I'm going to have to take a minute to be serious here on a bit of a sad note. Breaking news earlier this evening, James Harris, formerly known as WWF superstar Kamala, has unfortunately passed away at the age of 70. earlier this afternoon. Now, Kamala, James Harris, he suffered a whole bunch of serious health issues in recent years, most of it related to untreated diabetes. Omega, what do you know about what happened?
I mean, that's pretty much it. There's been no, like, official word on what did it or, you know, how he passed. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's one of those, like, when we say breaking, it's like, literally, we found this out, like, you know, like 2 hours ago.
Yeah, literally, so, 2 hours before we went live. So that threw the tiniest little bit of a wrench. Otherwise, we probably would have, elaborated on him and, done what we normally do. And that's, celebrate and, pay some tribute to, Kamala. But, I do know that, he really suffered a lot from diabetes, and for some reason, he really let it go untreated for the longest of times.
I mean, have you seen the American healthcare system?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. Don't experience it. Yeah. For some, it's just way too expensive to have diabetes, period. You know, like Kamala was a known name from, you know, the classic age of wrestling, but yeah. he's not a Hogan. And, you know, he's, or a Piper or anything, or anyone who could make a name based off of that alone, you know, or make a living just based on who they used to be.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you say Kamala, and if you're a wrestling fan, you picture this, African American guy, reputedly from Uganda. And he'd come out with, some face paint, on his face. Of course, that's why they call it face paint, but, with a couple of stars on his chest and a half moon, pretty much just about where your left kidney would be. But not too many people can recall too many of his matches. Anyway, today, because like he was a bigger name so many years ago. I'd see him regularly on WWF at the time, TV, and he always had entertaining matches. But, he actually, this is horrible. He had both legs amputated, below the knee, ultimately one, back in 2012, right after he retired. And then just a few years ago, his right leg had to be amputated, and it's all because of diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a terrible thing.
And so, yeah, I don't have any smart aleck comments because now is not the time nor the place. And this is not the topic for it. All I can say at the moment, rest in peace, to James Harris, affectionately known as, Kamala from the, World Wrestling Federation. Keishi, your turn.
I don't know what more to say aside from what you guys have added. I mean, you know, like considering if you ever listen to any podcast that he ever did as James Harris after Kamala, like the first time I ever heard him, I'm like, oh, he's not a Ugandan giant. He's just a regular dude. So like that's just, you know, service to how well he played the role of the Ugandan giant, acting like a crazy guy just running around barefoot, beating on people. He really took that role seriously.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked with his health issues, and I think he had his house burned down on him not that long ago as well, so I'm sure that probably factored into a lot of why he couldn't get the treatment that he needed, and probably, you know, contributed to the loss of his legs and why he's no longer with us today.
It's quite possible. When you suffer setback after setback, it can wear on you, and it's been proven that stress and mental strife does have the ability to affect you physically. It's a sad thing to say, but you know, sometimes people just have that run of bad luck. And unfortunately, in his last few years, James did suffer a run of bad luck. But that being said, he's going to be affectionately remembered by a lot of fans for a long time to come. I enjoyed watching matches that he had in WWE back when it was the F. So, but, from me to his family, my absolute deepest condolences, Omega.
I mean of course.
Yeah. So that being said, we should move on and, see, we can just lighten the tone just a little bit because stuff like this really, it's a little heavy and we don't want people feeling down for too long. Why don't we talk about what happened Monday night on Raw?
Ain't a lot of things happened on Raw.
Okay. Rule number one, you don't talk about Fight Club.
But this isn't Fight Club, so they want us to talk about it. Unfortunately.
Raw Underground. Some people actually got a kick out of this and thought it was good. Okay.
I didn't mind parts of it. I hope that they do more with it. I was immediate, like, as soon as I saw it, I immediately thought of, I think it's GCW's Bloodsport. Yeah. Where they basically, yeah, they've done two events where they've had people wrestle in a ring with no ropes. Pretty much looked exactly the same, minus the dancers and Shane McMahon. But you had guys like British Bulldog Jr., Karrion Kross participated in one of them before he got to the WWE.
Yeah. Before he was a hired killer?
Yes. No. He was still a killer, but they actually called him a killer.
Okay.
And then he changed his name and is now only a killer in reputation and not name.
Yeah. Rule number two, never call a hired killer a hired killer.
Yeah. So they had a bunch of guys that were basically that have, you know, backgrounds in more than just professional wrestling. So MMA guys in Bulldog Jr.'s case, he's a metal catch can wrestler. And they had those guys put on a bunch of matches very similar. That's probably what they were going for. I don't know. I mean, it's obviously only happened one night. If they keep going, I kind of hope that they, what's the word? I want them to flesh out the concept a little bit more. But I think it has potential. I mean, there were some good parts and some bad parts, just kind of like everything that's going on TV right now.
Yeah, well, you and I know Bulldog Jr., and we know him a little bit better as Harry.
Yes, sir.
And Harry is, since his first stint in WWE, has come leaps and bounds as far as mixed martial arts goes. I mean, the kid was a big, scary customer before he went to WWE. If you didn't want to take him off back then, you certainly don't want to be on his bad side nowadays, especially.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and when you get somebody like that involved, it would lend a little more legitimacy. But Omega, what did you think of Underground?
I am willing to give it a chance. I'm willing to see what they do with it, see if they produce like some more interesting concept, because I do like the visual change.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I do like that we're seeing more than just announce booth, ring, backstage. Especially since, you know, we're stuck in the performance center, so arena looks the same back and forth every single week.
Yeah.
I like that. I like the tonal shift.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of when you inject, air quote, like real fighting into a pro wrestling show. Because it feels like a mixed signal. You know, like if this is like the real fighting, what are they doing in the ring? And why are people getting knocked out in like 20 seconds when I've seen them go 15 minute matches. And I've seen them get hit with chairs and ladders and they get right back up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how much of a knockoff to the Brawl for All did this feel to you? Did it?
Oh no. Hell no. Like, Brawl for All was literally like wrestlers are boxing.
Yeah.
And all of our booking for months and years worth is going to be fucked up by this. Not to mention the lawsuits and all the careers ended. And so, didn't feel Brawl for All. You know, it's trying for the Underground Fight Club feel.
Yep.
Which is weird when, you know, Dolph Ziggler's there. But besides that,
not so much.
Yeah, not so much. I wasn't like sold on it, but I'm willing to see what they do with it.
Yeah, so they gotta do a little bit more than like whoever gets the double leg takedown first gets to punch the guy as long as he wants concept and do more with it.
Almost like they're trying a little bit too hard to work UFC fights.
Kinda, yeah.
Almost. But one of the visuals that I was not appreciative of were the dancers.
They didn't need to be there.
Yeah, that is so dated.
Not only that, I mean, if you're going to be dated like that and have the dancers, couldn't you at least hire a trio who know how to dance?
Or, you know, I mean, I think every time they cut, I can't remember which one, but it seemed like there was at least one dancer that would do just the same three moves over and over. She was like the John
Cena of
dancers.
The one in the middle, over thrusting her hips from side to side.
Yeah, which is legitimately a dance move. I've seen other dancers that I know do it, but they also do it well. Yeah. Well, it's just, I don't know. It was very repetitive, not necessary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think people would have taken it a little bit more serious if they weren't there. I didn't mind the Herp business going in there, and running a little bit of roughshod, because, you know, you got Lashley, who has an MMA background. Shelton Benjamin was a collegiate wrestler who also won titles, I believe. And then, I mean, MVP went to prison. So yeah, he knows how to fight club. So I kind of like that they got involved and sort of took it over in a way.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that next week, if they just kind of forget about it, or if they just decide that they're running the show and maybe there'll be like people betting money and stuff like that. Who knows?
Yeah. But getting back to the dancers, one word, was uttered by somebody: dated.
Yes.
And that is the perfect way of describing it. If you want to walk around and be the roving host of the Underground Fight Club, that's all fine and dandy. And it's always interesting to see what Shane's trying to do. I don't have a problem with that. Now, you said that, you know, like the Hurt business coming in, you dug that. To me, it killed it. And the reason for that is you're trying to do this and you're trying to make it look like a shoot. And then all of a sudden with the Hurt business coming in and kicking the crap out of all of the guys, just really destroyed the illusion to me, Omega.
I mean, it's pro wrestling 101. It's like you put a bunch of people down in order to make somebody look tough. You know,
yeah,
that's what they wanted, that for the Hurt business, and I guess that's what we are running with. It didn't really do that for me.
Okay.
Like it did feel like a hostile takeover, so Shane McMahon didn't have to be like the centerpiece of this every single week. I kind of want MVP just like kind of sitting on his chair, like fight for my amusement.
If he had done that instead of all three of them getting involved and clobbering everybody, just listen to him comment on what's going on.
Yeah, but it's not like the three of them beat up anybody that I recognized. It's not like, you know, Dolph Ziggler was in there shortly before they went in. It's not like they went in there and beat the crap out of Dolph Ziggler or that big dude that they kind of was like, this is the big man of Underground, and have him beat up a guy. They didn't have him get crushed by any of these dudes. It was just a whole bunch of guys that, like, I'm assuming are, you know, untelevised NXT or Performance Center guys that are just like, all right, you're going to surround the ring. Eventually, these guys are going to come in and beat the crap out of you. So
we did have Dio Madden in there.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he's 50% dreadlock now, but that was him.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, they beat up a former announcer. That's all I have.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. Well, Casey, having been in the ring and having prepped for wrestling shows during the mid afternoons, when everybody shows up to set up the ring and go through their spots and stuff. And, the fact that you've been involved in training some, up and coming future stars, recently,
Randy Orton's running in.
Randy Orton's about to give me an RKO out of nowhere. It's a phone call for me, but, I'll get it in a minute. How much of like a final days of training did this feel?
I mean, I haven't done any final days of training per se. I mean, they didn't really do a whole lot when they were quote unquote fighting each other. So it's hard to say. It looked a little bit less than like a training session, because they weren't doing a whole lot. But then it also looked a lot more than just like guys goofing around on the sidelines. So somewhere in the middle, you can tell they were obviously told specifically, you know, specific things to do when they were in there. And I'm obviously they were following that to the letter. But yeah, it's our, I would assume, in my opinion, towards the end of a training session, there would be more match doing, and less practicing of takedowns and strikes to the head. But I mean, every training camp is different? Question mark. That's just, I don't know. That's just my opinion. I don't know. How did you feel? How did you feel about like the fights that didn't feature anyone specific, like names and stuff, guys?
I mean, the only ones we really saw were like the initial one.
Yeah.
Which was Daba Kato, formerly known as Baba Tunde. So I guess that's going to be your big monster of Raw Underground, I assume. It seems like it's a vehicle that's supposed to get guys like him over. It's just like being super tough. So like when they get to an actual pro wrestling ring, it's basically like giving guys an MMA or UFC style reputation in house.
Or like Kimbo slicing him.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. He's the guy who beats up dudes in the underground and then, oh, he's done such a great job. We're going to give him a contract and put him in a regular ring.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I guess, as close as a comparison as anything I can think of off the top of my head.
I mean,
they definitely followed the like regular big guy formula that they normally do in the WWE. It was big guy comes in and we feed a bunch of guys to him and he just destroys them. Just instead of throwing them into the ropes and destroying them, he just destroyed them.
I love how he gets in the ring and absolutely decimates a guy. And then like the one who goes like, I can get him. I can take him is half his size.
Yep.
It's like the mentality of like the last generic goon who's going to go after Batman after he just took out 12 guys.
Yeah,
but he's like,
I got this.
I'm the one.
He takes that big like pump up running start and just like walks into the fist.
Yeah, it's the back fist too. It's just like doesn't even turn around to punch him, just bam right over the shoulder.
Yeah. next thing you know, next week they'll have a whole bunch of guys in there, and the last guy will be so scared that he'll turn and run, and accidentally run into one of the corner posts.
Bing. And it'll make that sound. So where are we now here, guys?
Oh, we just finished talking about the Raw Underground Big Man.
Oh, okay. So you're willing to give it another week to see how it goes, Omega?
Mm-hmm.
And Casey, you're kind of digging it.
Like you say, it's the first night. So, I mean, I'm not mad at it. I want to see where it goes. And hopefully I won't be mad at it in a couple of weeks.
Keep your fingers crossed. So we'll see what happens with Underground. If they keep doing it, we'll see what further transpires tomorrow night. See what happens there. But that's not the only thing that went on during Raw. We were teased basically all last Monday, a new faction debuting. A new faction is going to be debuting. So what happens last Monday night? We have some technical difficulties with lights flickering and power to the microphones temporarily cutting out and some unknown people.
Yes. Who gave those guys keys to the utilities room?
They Molotov cocktailed a transformer?
No!
What happened?
Which transformer was it?
No, not that transformer, an electrical power transformer thing.
Oh,
I didn't mean to give, I'm sorry, Omega, I didn't mean to give you a heart attack. Bumblebee's still okay.
Maybe we should call it a generator just to save our nerdy little nervousness over it.
It's 2020, you can't do shit to me. That's not cool.
It's like, what's next, 2020? Well, Optimus Prime, winds up getting decapitated. No, don't say that.
No, that happened in the 80s.
That happened in the 80s, that's right.
Died in the 80s? He died in the 90s? Optimus Prime dies a lot, guys.
Doesn't he die every reboot? Come on.
Well, it's a running trope. He died in the live-action movies once. He's died in the cartoon, like, three times. most of the new cartoons, he's died at least once. In the comic books, he's died a lot.
He keeps coming back.
He died once because he lost in a computer game and self-destructed.
Yeah.
Wow. He also died once on Robot Chicken.
But that's not canon.
No, but it was also a PSA for getting your prostate checked.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, right. I remember that now. Yeah. He transformed into a coffin at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, as terrible as it is, Robot Chicken is still like right up there.
Oh, it's great.
It's terrible.
But, that's why. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they've got some pretty lame things and mundane things, but they got some pretty, risky shit too. What was it? They did a takeoff of Star Wars, that was very reminiscent to me of when, Family Guy did, their Star Wars Blue Harvest thing, where Darth Vader is, in Family Guy, Darth Vader is like, oh no, just put some plywood on it.
Yeah.
Talking about the exhaust port. Save money. Cheapen out. But yeah, no, I like Robot Chicken, believe it or not, for an old guy like me. So other than the, you know, the technical malfunctions, nothing really materialized until Friday night. This group finally debuted this new faction. They're called Retribution.
I like how we have all these announcements that a new faction is going to debut, and it's a faction everyone on camera is confused and unsure about, and like, who are these guys? Like, they're the ones you advertised for a week.
Yeah. Like, what's going on here? Well, we just been telling everybody for a month.
No. We've been telling everyone a week because that's how long we've been panicking over the ratings, and this is our idea to fix it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. This is what's going on, with this new faction, Retribution, and this underground. Ratings are suffering partly because professional sports have returned in their collective bubbles. And I guess it's an American election year, so a lot of people are paying attention to that silliness too. And naturally it's causing a ratings decline like it does all the time, every year. And so WWE is like, well, what can we do to get these people back? So, well, this is what they're doing. And it just comes across to me, of their insecurity, that they're willing to take all of these spaghetti they've cooked up and throw it against the fridge to see what sticks.
But you're only supposed to throw one noodle, not the entire pot.
I know that, but that's my point. I mean, first off, I've never understood throwing one strand of spaghetti against the fridge to see if it sticks. I mean, you want to know if it's ready? Take one out and chew the damn thing.
That's what I do, because why waste food by throwing it against the fridge?
But that water was boiling.
It's
really hot.
It'll be hot. I don't think Omega eats like you and I do, Casey.
Noodles?
Not just noodles.
No. I take everything in through photosynthesis.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's sunny down there most of the time, so you can.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Now, I like my food super, super warm, and I like my beverages super, super cold. It's a perfect contrast.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, never mind. You guys want to speculate who might be making up Retribution?
Short people.
That would rule out Aleister Black, wouldn't it?
Well, just based on when they were all kind of like running around in the ring and most of their shoulders were kind of top rope height. Yes.
Yep.
Like, you could speculate I could be part of Retribution, because that's about as tall as I am.
Yeah, you're a short, stocky bugger.
Yeah, I'm not tall.
But here it is. Just a few names. Dominic, how do you pronounce his last name? Dijakovic?
Dijakovic? I think he's about 3 feet too tall to be one of them.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, this is WWE, where, like, the same people are going to
come out. Interchangeable?
Yeah, like, the same short people are going to come out every single week, and then when it's time for someone to actually take a mask off and debut, they'll gain 2 feet of height.
And nobody will mention it, except all the fans who have noticed.
It's like the Great Khali re-debuts as a member of Retribution.
Yeah, there you go.
They just act like the 8-foot-tall masked guy has been there every week.
Yeah. And then Another name for you, Tommaso Ciampa.
That almost seems possible. I mean, he hasn't been around since he got Karrion crossed out.
Yeah, he's almost short enough.
How do you get that beard under the mask?
You
wait until it's time to actually unmask?
Pomade. Beard pomade, and you just slick it against your neck.
That's going to make the reveal really underwhelming.
Yep.
And somewhat greasy looking. Anyway, the reason why those two names are up there along with Aleister Black, the reason I mentioned them, the speculation, and it's not my speculation, but social media of Ciampa and Dominic, recently all their posts were wiped clean, and they're both using black squares to replace their profile pics. Aleister Black promised a change, and he's been posting black squares beside recent posts.
I mean, retribution, the whole idea behind retribution is it's supposed to be in protest of, like, WWE and booking that keeps, like, doing what we've been doing, what we've complained about for years, is focusing on a few people and not giving anyone new or not giving any outsiders a chance to succeed. Yep. Hence the name Retribution. Yep. So names like that, like, they have a look of people who would cause that kind of chaos.
Yep.
You know, and Aleister definitely has credence to this, because mm-hmm. he is, aside from just, we know he's good, but he's done next to nothing since being on the main roster except be really spooky.
Well, he got written off of TV after the beatdown by Seth and Murphy.
Yeah, but that was like 2 weeks ago. I'm talking like, yeah. I'm talking like just how he has been treated since moving up to the main roster, where on NXT he was a big deal, and then he's treated like a contender consistently on Raw, but he has not done anything of any kind of accomplishment.
And that's disappointed me no end, because I've really enjoyed the character since NXT, and I was hoping for big things. He's on the main roster, you know, or well, Raw, you can't call it the main roster anymore, but it was back then when he first came up. And I'm like, all right. And yeah, I just don't think that the Raw creative knows how to book him, where NXT did.
I mean, you know, Raw doesn't know what to do with him when the first thing they did to switch up his character was add a creaking noise to his entrance and completely ruin the mystique of him rising up. They just add a creaking sound of, oh, it's just a board.
Totally reminds me of all of these stories of the studios interfering with great movies and making them bad. And then we have to wait 5 years for the director's cut. And all of a sudden, it's a great movie again.
I mean, it's a Kevin Dunn thing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know, if it can be fucked up, Kevin Dunn will find a way.
We have the
debut of AJ Styles as a golden example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even like, you know, we have the return of Edge as a golden example. Edge hits the ring and they cut to the crowd. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep. And it's like, what the hell? Edge wasn't as bad as AJ's was.
Oh, AJ's was terrible. Because this stare at Roman Reigns is like gawking O-face for, you know, a full minute.
Yep.
And then you think about the production team actually timed us out and set up a graphic specifically to have one of those like super cool, like, oh my God, they really do this kind of reveals.
Phenomenal.
They didn't show it.
Yeah. And the only way I saw this was on social media after the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
What we should have seen on TV, and it would have been spectacular.
Well, they went and posted, alternate angles on YouTube afterwards, so you could actually like see what it should have looked like. Even then, it was still pretty slapdash. But anytime WWE does that, we'd say, unseen footage of, it's basically code for Kevin Dunn fucked up, and this is what you should have seen.
Yeah, Kevin Dunn fucked up, and we're trying to fix it. So, but here's another name for you. It's evident that at least a couple of members of Retribution are female wrestlers. Okay, yep. So here's a name for you, Tegan Knox.
Tegan could work.
I see that as possible. Okay, and then
because she's kind of she's still pretty heavily profiled on NXT.
No, but another two female wrestlers recently making up with each other, but they can't form their previous faction because the third member of that faction was released. And of course, I'm talking about Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan.
Seeing them, not so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think they want to keep them as good guys, not people running around destroying everything.
It's also a little too similar to what they did before as the Riott Squad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But here is one absolutely huge name where you're going to go, that would be cool, but not a chance. Samoa Joe.
That would be cool, but not a chance.
See? Told you. I told you, Omega, that's exactly what he was going to say.
Get out of my brain, Tim.
Mass ninjas once abducted me. Now I am a mass ninja.
I was wondering.
Speaking of ninjas,
back TNA.
How many of those guys in the ring on Friday do you think are doubling as the ninjas on Monday night?
Oh God,
all of them?
Just switch the mask for a balaclava. Yeah.
Okay, now here's another two names that would make you go maybe, but not a chance with if Ciampa's involved. Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae.
See, it's definitely not them because Candice is heavily favored on NXT right now.
Yeah.
And Johnny has zero interest in the main roster.
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you think we should stop calling it the main roster now?
When they're still treating it as call-ups when someone makes a debut from NXT to one of the main shows, it's kind of hard to avoid it.
When they stop calling it a call-up and start calling it drafted from, then I'll start calling it drafted from. Until then, I will use the quote unquote WWE terms for things.
Well, okay, I guess we can let it go with that. But yeah, not likely with these two. But here's one that I think might be a possible candidate. Out of all of the 10 names I've got on my list, honest to goodness, this is pretty much just about the only one. You guys are going to disagree with me. Mia Yim.
Why do you think Mia Yim?
I just think that everything would be falling into place with recent history. I don't want to say a great way to be called up to the main roster, but yeah, a great way for her to be called up to the main roster.
I would kind of love it. She's too heavily featured right now and she's kind of too new to NXT to really do something like this, but like, I would love Shotzi Blackheart to be in this group just so they roll up with a tank one day.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Only
this is a master
throwing out, hey, you can't use my tank.
Just a masked woman in all black rolling up to the performance center in a tank. I wonder who it is.
Yeah, the problem with that is that's just too Antifa feeling. And I not to be political, but I can't see WWE doing anything surrounding that group when we all know collectively that the McMahons are friends of that other guy. And
Tim. I'm going to remind you, they were literally a few hours away from pulling a new Nation of Domination out of their hat.
Oh,
in 2020
yeah.
of all years.
Yeah. That was shot down by MVP. Thanks, Montavious.
Yeah. Thank God. That would have been like the most tone deaf thing they could have possibly done.
Yeah. I got nothing wrong with Hurt Business. I think that's great to have those three guys banded together, but to have a reboot of Nation of Domination in 2020, big fucking stupid. And this is just going back to our thinking, those who come up with ideas are just too separated from the real world. We've had this argument before, Omega. Not with each other, but with WWE.
Oh, yeah. Like, we've had this for years where, like, we know Vince lives in a bubble.
Yep.
It's like, the one I love to cite is the fact that he axed Pirate Virtual because it's not relevant at a time when Pirates of the Caribbean was the most popular thing on the planet.
Yep.
He's the kind of guy who's like, hey, guys, it's like, I just saw They Live. Like,
like, yeah.
Really? Just now. But like, Piper was in it. How did you not see? I don't know. I just didn't have time, but I want to talk about it now. I want to talk about it now. Dude.
Yeah, it's on my Netflix
movie's oldest list. Like,
it was in my queue, man. It just came up in my queue.
But that's like Vince, where it's like he's like 10 years behind the times in what people like are into.
Yeah,
you know it's always late. Like when there's something on WWE TV that capitalizes on anything current, it's always way behind the curve.
Yeah.
And yeah, like we've known he's out of touch. We know that. And the writers follow suit because we know that, well, we have Bruce Prichard in charge of all the writing now.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a Vince McMahon yes man who's going to write things that Vince says yes to.
Yeah, that's, let's face it, insider. It's the main reason why Paul Heyman has, the move to talent only as opposed to creative. Oh yeah, you know, he's tanking the Raw ratings and not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Yeah, he's only making, new stars every week, which is what he was supposed to do. He's only actually writing intelligent storylines, but he was not a yes man.
I love how Vince also went on after that and goes, no, we're focused on building new stars now.
Yeah.
Why'd you fire the guy who's doing that?
Yep.
And then put in Bruce Prichard, who literally only wants to use old talent.
Well, you know, the Vince McMahon Kiss My Ass Club of a few years ago.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, we don't... God damn it.
Prichard is still a contributing member.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's the one who...
play
like,
on words.
Well, like, you remember the best storyline SmackDown had going on this year?
Mm.
That was the SmackDown hacker.
Uh-huh.
But it went into oblivion because Bruce didn't see anything in Mustafa Ali.
It's just so, amazing how blind some people can be to some things, right?
I mean, we talk about it all the time. It's like, why doesn't WWE see this and this and this?
Mm-hmm.
No, this is the kind of thing where it's like, you know, you have competition nipping at your heels now, and they're actually being taken seriously. And it's not like a TNA thing because they're actually making money now and they're doing better in the key demographic than you are right now.
No.
This is not the time to be fucking around. It's like, well, it's so hard to build new stars. I'm sorry. AEW is building like how many new fucking stars who have never had a shot on American TV before?
All of them.
Most of them. You got Jericho and Moxley. And
well, you know what I meant when I said all of them.
Yeah. But seriously, you literally, like, at a time where it's like, oh, it's so hard to build new talent and new stars. There's a whole company that's doing it right now. Why can't you?
Bull Pucky, it's not difficult to be doing that. I mean, yeah, okay, you've been doing it for 30 years. You can recycle an old idea, but you've got to update the damn thing. Like, when Canadian All-Pro was current, Keisha, you wrestled for the guys in Edmonton, and then the next weekend you wrestled for me. You remember yep. Bucky Briggs in RCW?
Sure do.
And what was he in CAW?
He was Maverick Briggs.
Maverick Mike Briggs. And I blew everybody away. I saw it when he still had the buzz cut, the little military army brat haircut. I saw it. Nobody else did. I said to him, grow your hair out a little bit. Grab a fake leather jacket for $20. Get the aviator sunglasses. I'm going to start calling you Maverick Mike Briggs. And sure enough, when he finally debuted his complete look, he looked like a blonde Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And he had two successful characters going at the same time. Because when he was working for the Edmonton promotion, everybody was calling him Bucky. And when he was working for me, everybody knew him as Mike. And it was awesome. It was really good. So shit like that can be done. And all I did was recycled an old idea and updated it. Yep. If you're going to recycle something, update the goddamn thing. That's all. It ain't rocket science, kids. But it all goes back. You brought it up. They axed the pirate when Pirates of the Caribbean was at its height. I was so, so choked when they did that too, because that was perfect. You know, almost perfect timing with just the perfect character.
Yeah.
Come swinging out from the stage on the rope.
It was different. Like, it was referential, and it was, yes, it took advantage of pop culture at the time.
It was fucking relevant.
It was relevant. It was different and fun. Yeah, just the different angles, seeing them fly, you know, swinging in on the rope. Can you imagine if, like, he became a star and did that at WrestleMania?
Oh, that would have been awesome. No, they could have rolled out like a pirate ship from the back and had come off that way. It would have been sweet.
But like him going down, like throwing gold to the crowd from a chest and making poor William Regal, who, like, credit to him for his role in Pirate Virgil's story.
Yeah.
Cause that is a man that is willing to throw away a lot of dignity for the sake of entertaining audiences. And that's perfect for pro wrestling.
Yep. It would have been great. I mean, I get the feeling that they're trying, like with Viking Raiders. Vikings has been a very, very popular TV series that just ended, this past spring. And I was one of the millions and millions of watchers because of my heritage, partly, but also because it was really good. And then the Viking Raiders come along and they piss me off. And we already know why they pissed me off, right?
Because no. I mean, turkey legs and Vikings didn't have turkeys.
Because it was no longer an experience.
Well, here's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I love the characters. I just, whoever thought that it would be a good idea to go overboard with the stereotyping. Vikings
we
never
all know
had
who,
fucking horns on their helmets.
We all know whose idea was to go overboard with the stereotyping.
Pritchard. I still say his name's mispronounced. Anyway. That's neither here nor there, I suppose. But yeah. So there's all of that speculation. I guess we're just going to have to wait to find out who's in Retribution. But those were 10 out there names that I thought I'd throw out there because they were out there. And now they're out there. All right. Omega, tell me about Lego. Sounds like you got a couple of bricks there.
I have a Batmobile that's waiting for my attention.
Ooh. Is it, you is got it a Lego Batmobile?
Uh-huh.
Is Which it the one? Big one?
It's not the big one. Like there's a big crazy one that has, that, like, unfolds in like three Bat vehicles, but. No, this is, it's like the current one that's out right now, which is more reminiscent of the Burton Batmobile.
Okay.
Yeah, the 1989 one?
Yeah.
And the giant 1989 one?
It's not the giant 1989 one.
Oh, okay, you're talking about...
It's just like the standard one-seater that they just made.
Yeah, okay.
But it's reminiscent of it. It's not like spot on, like, oh, it's that one.
Yeah, that one. I have that one sitting on top of the giant one.
There you go, Casey. Yeah. What's your ideal Lego set?
I mean, that Batmobile that I like, the straight up 1989 replica one they did is pretty solid. It is a centerpiece on my display case of nerdy things that most people would tell me to grow up and get a life about.
Fuck off.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's your ideal Lego set. Got it.
Well, it's, you know, they take something awesome like Lego and then they put it together with something awesome like Batman. You can't really go wrong, with that combination. But I mean, you know, my ideal Lego set is different from other people's ideal Lego sets.
Well, that being said, Omega, what's your ideal Lego set?
Are we just pie in the sky, like we're trying to like,
cause, like what my, the Lego what set, has like, Lego not put out that they could put out that would be cool.
I mean, there's a lot of that. That covers a lot of ground.
There's actually legitimately a website where people come up with their own ideas for Lego sets.
This is supposed to be them. Yeah, this is where you pick out one of yours.
I'm not smart enough to come up with my own.
See, I know that the website, there also used to be a program you could download that will just let you build virtual Lego. That's how people did a lot of like their pre-designed work to find out how many bricks and what sizes they would need to build like a real life one. Like the one that gets me right now is like they're starting to make like, they've made Lego now for like, the stuff I grew up with was like Disney Afternoon stuff, like your DuckTales and Chip and Dale and Darkwing Duck, that kind of genre. And like they're starting to do a little bit of that. You can get like little Scrooge McDuck out of a blind bag these days.
Yep.
And there's probably like, with the nostalgia run that is everything in toys these days, I so wish they would run with that and I could just get like a big Lego like money bin from DuckTales.
Okay. Cool. In the movie Spider-Man Homecoming, that Lego Death Star, is that real or was that just made up for the movie?
They're real. There's a Lego Death Star.
Okay.
There's a couple Lego Death Stars.
Yeah. The main Lego Death Star is basically just like a round dollhouse that has just a bunch of little rooms based on like rooms from the Death Star in the movie. But it's just like, it looks like skeleton. There's no like outer shell for the Death Star.
Yeah.
So that's what stops me from ever getting one. Like my favorite Lego sets are like, they do like expert level modular buildings.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's very old school, like kind of 40s like style, like, and the idea is you can like they can be hooked together, like side to side. So yep. It looks like a street side, like San Francisco style.
Oh yeah. Those are great.
Yeah. Okay. Like I got a bunch of them. Like that's like, you know, that's like you set aside a 3-day weekend to build one of those. And it's just like an amazing level of detail. Like there's one where literally as you're building it, it's telling you a mystery story and you start putting the bits you put together connect into a story as you go through the instructions. And it's like the most brilliant little thing I've ever seen.
It does sound cool. But, hey guys, we've kind of run out of time here. So, we're going to have to talk about Lego next Sunday, unless we decide to talk about Transformers.
You never know. Apparently we're adding a flavor of the day kind of segment to the show.
We could do that. I'm going to leave you with this note. Hot dogs are not tacos. Remember that, kids.
Tacos are Mexican sloppy joes.
There you go. Yeah. You know what? I'll go with that one.
That's acceptable. I'm going to bring that forward to my ongoing battle of why hot dogs are not tacos.
There you go. Yeah. Mexican sloppy joes. That being said, everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate you. All of you listening live or downloading the archive and listening to the recorded version. I hope you all have yourselves a great week. Don't forget tomorrow immediately following Raw. There might be the Raw post show depending. Stay tuned to social media to find out. We have Fortnite with Friends happening throughout the week. Again, social media will inform you. Don't forget Thursday nights, 10 o'clock Eastern, is another edition of the award-winning multi-time award-winning The Rack Radio Show with your host, Lindsay Ward. And you want to be checking that out. If I had the sheet in front of me, I'd give you all the social media stuff there. But again, we'll give you our social media plugs where you can get all the extra information on that one. Saturday night's midnight-ish, or as close as they get to it, you're going to find out the name of the new baby. That's right. That's right. That's right. The WTR family is being induced, as a matter of fact, not to give away too much, but congratulations in advance to the godfather of the extreme, the one and only Rob Parks, and of course his lovely counterpart Jenna. They're about to become parents, so congratulations to them. I'm not going to give you any more details. You have to tune in to CB Radio Midnight-ish this coming Saturday night to find out the full details. And of course, next Sunday night, if there's something to talk about, we're going to talk about it right here. 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern time. Another edition of WTR Sunday night. Follow the Wild Talk Radio Network and get all the information on the Twitter machine at Wild Talk Radio or on Facebook, Facebook.com/ Wild Talk Radio Network, Facebook.com/group/ Wild Talk Radio Network. Wrestle Talk Radio can be followed on Twitter as well at WTR Sunday Nights. And similar ideas with Facebook, Facebook.com/ WTR Sunday Night. Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forum. That would be the safe one, the sports one, the wrestling one, the goofy stuff. The serious, politically incorrect stuff is at Voice Insanity. And I have revived it. You want to follow my food tweets and see pictures of things that I've created or that I've just cooked in the kitchen, whatever, at Man Kitchen TV. That's me. I'm starting to gain a foothold and a presence, but it's going to take me a long time to catch up to you, Omega.
Well, yeah, I still have to work on the full one, which I have been saying for months, but someday. For now, if you want to see where I am active on the internet, you can go check me out over on Facebook at TJ Reviews, but everywhere else, find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with an absolute ton of content. And for a little bit more, it is over at TJOmega.net.
There you go. And of course, Casey wants you to follow him on the Twitter machine.
Yes, sir. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Driver. That is basically Pile Driver with a K instead of a P. This week's highlight was me talking about how I gave someone a backbreaker with my knee pads not in the right spot, and now I'm paying for it.
Oops. That being said, everybody, thanks for once again tuning in and checking us out. Check us out next time we go live on the air. Until then, have yourselves a great week, everybody. Take care. WildTalkRadio.com.